Come on, everybody. I want you to take a deep breath. Can you feel it? The calm, the joy, and the beauty of bloom.
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do.
Welcome to Mooney Goes Wild.
You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true?
Blooming brilliant. Sustainability wins big at Board Bia Bloom 2025. So the headline screams from the Board Bia website. And you go back to Thursday, May 29th. Two show gardens highlighting the importance of recycling, repurposing and the circular economy were awarded Best Large and Best Medium Gardens at Board Bia Bloom 2025. All 21 show gardens showcased at this year's festival are designed with sustainability in mind and incorporate environmental measures. However, these two gardens particularly convey strong sustainability measures for the visitors to take home. The overall medium garden category award was presented to the European Commission's Renewed Blooms Garden, designed by David Negus, and the overall large garden category award went to the Repack Most Sorted Garden, designed by James Purdy. Which is a happy coincidence for us here at Mooney Goes Wild, because last Wednesday, before the judging took place, mind you, our researcher Michelle Brown paid a visit to James Purdy's garden here at Board Bia Bloom.
Hi Derek, I'm here at Garden 11, which is Repack Most Sorted Garden, and I'm here with garden designer James Purdy. Hello James, how are you getting on?
Well, I'm getting on well, yeah, lovely day.
Can you tell me what is going on here in your garden? What is this all about?
This garden was sponsored by Repack, which is a garden based on the premise of recycling materials into a garden, recycle, reuse and reclaim. And for me as a designer, I wanted to create a garden that was resolved, that people look at it and saw the beauty in it. It was attainable, they could do it at home by using and being encouraged to use recycled materials into the garden. And you see that throughout the garden and all the built elements, from the structural multicoloured wine and gin walls, to the aluminium tins rusting, the reclaimed sleeper path, the gravel and the old brick underfoot. It's all part of the story.
Well, congratulations, it's stunning.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you very much indeed, Michelle. So what has happened at Bloom over the past five days? Well, unlike the UK's entry at this year's Eurovision Song Contest, there were garlands galore awarded. 19 medals, including 8 gold, were presented to show gardens. In the nursery village, a total of 16 medals were given to new and returning plant nurseries. And this year's postcard gardens created by community groups received 11 medals. And that's not all. To tell us more, I'm delighted to welcome Laura Douglas, who's head of Board Bia Bloom and brand partnership at Board Bia. Also in the Glass Bowl studio here at Bloom, we have Dr. Richard Collins and Niall Hatch. Laura, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
You must be delighted with the past few days.
Absolutely thrilled. I mean, there's simply no other festival like Bloom in Ireland. You know, it's been a five-day celebration of gardening, food and sustainable living in the unique setting of the beautiful Phoenix Park.
How many people?
Over 100,000 people.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And is that up on last year?
Well, we've final tally. We get a 5 o'clock final tally, so we'll find out then. But
how many exactly were here?
Approximately over 100,000.
That is incredible, isn't it? And yet at the same time, I was coming in last Wednesday and again today, and it was relatively easy to get in and out of the park, so it's very well managed.
It is. It's brilliantly managed. I have to say, I've got an absolutely fantastic team, and we did invest heavily in the traffic management system a number of years ago.
Right.
And people just fly in and out.
Well, it worked. Now, your theme this year?
So there's a wide, diverse range of themes, I guess, particularly in the show garden. We don't have one specific theme, but I guess they're kind of three key themes sort of that came out this year. The first one being around recycling and the circular economy. The second one was around sort of engaging children. And then the third one is around kind of designing spaces for kind of smaller spaces.
Right. And everybody's happy with what they're seeing. Richard Collins, I know you've been walking about and you've seen quite a lot.
I have indeed. And the enormous diversity of it, that is extraordinary. There's a postcard garden down there. I thought I'd never see anything like it. It's by the Ballyfoyle Pastoral Group in Kilkenny. And it's a philosophical entry and it is brilliant. I think it has a plough, an old plough. It has the child's boots and an adult's boots. It has an old beehive. life. It has an old time Nelly bicycle I used to see as a child. And the plants are plants that you grow throughout the year. So it takes the time in. I mean, these are art installations, but art installations elsewhere are static, you know, sharks in formaldehyde and unmade beds and things like that. But this it brings time in. It's got a sense of time and movement. I think it's wonderful. But Laura, how on earth can you possibly judge which is the winner? Are there marks for various things? Marks for concept, marks for execution, marks for imagination, marks for relevance? How do you go about it?
There are. I mean, particularly for the show gardens, I mean, the garden designers are judged against their own brief. So the sponsor will give the garden designer a brief in terms of what they want the garden to communicate for them. So they would look at judging against the actual brief, but then they'd also look at overall impression and design. They look at planting, they look at construction, and then of course sustainability as well also comes in, and originality, lots of other factors.
And is it like the Leaving Cert? So many marks for this and so many marks for that, and I don't think I'll bother with that because it's only a small number of marks. Is that the way, or do they just do it and see it in the pants kind of thing? Oh, I think it's very good, we'll put them in.
No, there's quite a rigorous sort of, they would get in advance all the elements that they would be marked against. And I mean, 2 days before the show opens, so on the Tuesday and Wednesday, a prestigious panel of judges come over. A few of them actually come over from Chelsea, as well as Irish experts as well on the panel. And they would look at all the show gardens and, judge them against the criteria.
And it makes a huge difference to a person's career if they get a medal here.
It does. I mean, we see a lot of people who have come in and done a number of bloom and then they absolutely flourish afterwards.
Yeah.
They get like so much exposure. And it's a great stepping stone. And we also have our Cultivating Talent programme, which we, you know, there's somebody who would win that, an up-and-coming
designer.
Person in horticulture. Yeah.
Terrific. Niall Hatch is here. Niall, you're wearing two hats today. You've got your Birdwatch Ireland hat on and your Mooney Goes Wild hat on. So you're giving talks here today.
I am. I'm giving one actually at 3:30 over on the garden stage, all about garden birds, of course, which is the perfect theme for bloom. We in Birdwatch Ireland, we've been at bloom since the very first day, and it's crucial for us. We're here to answer questions, to meet the public, recruit new members, and we sign up hundreds of them every year. So it's absolutely phenomenal. Great to be here. Great to see it going from strength to strength. And also great to see that whole sustainability angle going bigger and bigger every year. It's wonderful.
Now, Niall, there's a big stage out there. It's a bit like Glastonbury and there's lots of people sitting waiting for something to happen. And I have an idea. I think you could happen.
Okay.
So if you go out onto stage, can you tell us five fascinating facts about our five feathered friends in 5 minutes? Could you do that?
I'll do my very
best. Would you like to hear that, ladies and gentlemen, and see that? They would indeed. They're out there waiting for Niall. Out you pop. And Niall, while Niall is going out and getting ready. So it's all over today. Laura, you must be kind of sad. This is the last day.
It is a bit like that. You spend the whole year planning. I mean, planning starts, you know, 12 months out. We've already started planning Bloom 2026, in fact, already. We had a walkabout this morning. We already started our debriefs on Bloom 2025. It's fantastic. We're delighted. It looks like we've had 100,000 very happy visitors, and the cellars, all the stalls seem to have done.
And I've been away for the weekend, so what was the weather like on Saturday and Sunday? Was it good?
Saturday and Sunday have been good. It was a little bit mixed at the start. Thursday was a little bit wet, quite a few showers. But since then, actually, the weather's been pretty good.
It didn't dampen the spirits.
It didn't dampen the spirits. They still came in droves. Everyone still seemed thrilled, so we're delighted.
And everybody wants to know what happens to the gardens now that the festival is over.
So most of our gardens, well, they're all either rehomed or they're reused. So certain elements of the gardens, depends what the sponsor's wish is afterwards, will be rehomed in its entirety. Otherwise, elements of the garden will be reused, repurposed. And then some of the larger, like trees and plants and stuff, could actually have been rented. So then they go back to where they came from. But absolutely nothing goes to waste.
All right. Well, listen, it was lovely to meet you. And thank you very much indeed, Laura. But as I can see, Niall Hatch is now on the stage. Would you give him a big round of applause? Niall Hatch is here from Birdwatch Ireland and Mooney Goes Wild to give you five fantastic facts about five of our feathered friends. Niall!
Thank you, Derek. As you know, I could talk all day about birds. And actually, for the past 5 days at Bloom, I have been doing exactly that. But I had to distill it down just to five birds for 5 minutes. I want to tell you about some of the most amazing ones you can find. So the one that blows my mind completely is the hummingbirds. The hummingbirds are an incredible group of birds. We don't have them here in Europe, but they're throughout the Americas, and they're the smallest birds in the world. They're the most agile birds in the world. The amazing thing is some of the species, they can beat their wings up to 200 times a second. Imagine flapping your arms up and down 200 times a second. Their hearts beat 1,000 times a minute. And in terms of their body temperature, there's one type of hummingbird, particularly from Brazil. It's called the somber hummingbird. And it actually reaches a body temperature of 45 degrees centigrade. We'd be well dead at that kind of a temperature. So absolutely astonishing birds, hovering at flowers, have this high metabolic rate. And because they need to feed every few minutes, they could never cross the Atlantic to reach us here in Europe. So we have to make do with the pictures. Or the next best option, we have a moth here called the hummingbird, hawk moth, which behaves very much like a hummingbird. So that's our first amazing bird for the show this afternoon. Then another one is one that we could see here in Ireland, which I'm really delighted about. I've seen them here over the Phoenix Park, actually. It's a bird called the peregrine falcon. Now, the peregrine falcon is the fastest creature on Earth. Often people say to me, I thought the cheetah was the fastest animal. Well, the cheetah is the fastest at running on the land, and it's very fast indeed, but the peregrine leaves it in the shade. They're built like fighter jets, and what they do is they fly high in the sky, they sweep their wings back, they dive down on their prey, and when they do that, they can reach speeds, the highest actually recorded was 389 kilometers per hour. Just think about that. It's absolutely astonishing. What they do is they dive down on their prey, they catch it, they can actually see their prey, they can zoom in on it from 5 kilometers away. So their eyesight is that sharp. And the fact that we have those here around the Phoenix Park in Dublin and all over Ireland now, it blows my mind. And that's one to watch out for. That's the second of our amazing birds. But what bird can go the deepest under the water? Because lots of birds are in the sea too. Well, it's actually the emperor penguin, a species that you find in Antarctica. And they can dive in pursuit of fish to depths of up to 550 meters. That's 1,800 feet below the sea level. They can stay down for 20 minutes, and of course they can't breathe down there. They hold their breath and then they come back up. Now most birds, to keep them light for flying, they have very hollow bones, like a honeycomb kind of structure. That's no good if you're going to those deep depths. They'd be crushed by the pressure. So these penguins have solid bones, unlike other birds. And of course, when they're hunting down that deep, no sunlight penetrates that far down. So they're doing it entirely just by senses, by feel of the water currents. An amazing bird. Not one, of course, we have here in Ireland, but one they have in Antarctica. Then another bird from another part of the world, from Australia now, we go to see the lyrebird, the superb lyrebird, aptly named because it's the best vocal mimic. Here in Europe we have birds like starlings and so on, you'll see them around here, they're very good at mimicry. The lyrebird, however, they're amazing at imitating the sounds of all sorts of things. So they imitate the sound of car alarms, of groups of people talking. Not just one person, groups of people talking. I've heard them do chainsaws. You know the ones in Eastern Australia that have around the national parks? They get photographed a lot because they make the perfect imitation of camera shutters. And it's thought that they do that in order to impress the mate. It's the male that does it. He wants to show off to the ladies. He wants to show how long he's been around, how many things he's experienced, how good he is at replicating his environment. So we love the dawn choruses, you know, when Mooney goes wild. This is a one-bird dawn. Of course, he imitates all the other creatures of the forest, so it's absolutely astonishing. And talking of mimicry, the one that people often associate with that would be the parrots. And the most impressive parrot of all, well, it's the African grey parrot, a species which is very long-lived. They can live up to 100 years old, and they can imitate the sounds and vocal abilities of more different words and so on than any other bird on the planet. And they're also incredibly clever. They have the cognitive abilities, they think, of roughly a five-year-old child. There was one famous African grey parrot called Alex, who was actually able to recognize lots of different colors and shapes and numbers, and was actually even able to put together some simple sentences. So when people say someone is bird-brained, Derek, it's actually a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you finished?
I think so. Did I do it in time?
Let me just check, 4 minutes, 59 seconds, and 4 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yay!
Well done, Niall. Richard Collins, you're nodding at me. You want to say something about that?
Yes, I think we should say something for the original gardeners. The original gardeners weren't people. They were animals. The beaver makes gardens, aquatic gardens. And there's a whole area of Sweden, apparently, that is designed and developed by beavers. And we're in the Phoenix Park. And what's the Phoenix Park? It is one great garden, and a feature of it is the browse line.
Yeah.
The deer can eat up to a certain point, but they can't reach beyond that. And so you get this kind of mini skirted looking trees, you know, the bare trunk, and then it cuts off at the height of the deer reach, do you see? So yes. they are gardening too.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic attraction. The deer here is really absolutely beautiful. Yeah. When you come in and see it, it never ceases to kind of bring a smile to my face. At any rate, thank you very much indeed, Niall, because we know Niall is giving a talk at 3:30 p.m.
I've got to run over there, Derek, now running over. Just I've got to go to the other end, just by the Grand Pavilion, which is where Birdwatch Ireland has its stand at the garden. I'm going to talk about birds. I'm sure lots of questions about you. Number one question I get at Bloom, Derek, is Derek with you?
Is Derek, or is Aina with you? Aina, unfortunately, is away on holiday, so she couldn't be with us today. But when I was walking around earlier, I met an old friend of mine. His name is Trevor Hunt, and he just happens to work with Citron, and they have a garden here too.
Derek. Good to see you again.
Trevor, good to see you again. So tell us about your garden this year.
Well, this is our third year at Borbia Bloom, and this is our third citron garden. This year, it is the citron downsizer's garden. So it's basically for anyone that wants to downsize. Our life stages change as we get older, or our needs change. And this garden is all about how you can downsize without compromise. So just because you have a smaller garden, or if you want a smaller car, you don't have to compromise.
No,
you can have it, everything.
Now,
in
you've
it.
Been very successful. You've been in it 3 years, and you won gold twice.
We've won gold
2 years
twice,
in a row.
2 years in a row. So we're going for the hat trick this year.
Now, what stand number are you? 19.
We're
is
stand
it?
19. Yeah.
Stand 19. And I can see that the judges, because today is Wednesday, media day, but also the day the judges go around and have a look at the gardens and talk to the designers, etc. And they're at number 18 at the moment. And they're having a little cup of tea and some sandwiches.
It's one of those nerve-wracking moments.
So have we got a time to speak with your designer?
Absolutely,
Louise?
Yeah.
Introduce me, if you would, please.
So Louise Checa is the citron.
Hello, Louise. How are you?
I'm
Derek
Mooney.
Nice to meet you.
Nice.
The judges are on the way. They're now actually at your garden. They're looking. They're going to talk to you in a moment, I presume. What kind of questions do they ask you?
They're asking if I was happy with the build or if I had some issues. But they don't ask too much. It's very secretive.
Oh, really? So they're more about the design and what's in there, the kind of planting and everything.
It's all about the brief and how you execute the brief.
Well, can you tell me about your brief and how you executed it?
So this is the downsizer's garden. So the theme was to create something for people that would be freshly retired or are looking for a garden just to enjoy it, where there's no kids maybe anymore in the garden, no lawn needed, and it's just a place created to be enjoyed all year around. So we have a covered area, a pergola where you can entertain guests and cook with an outdoor kitchen. We have a sun patio to enjoy sitting in the sun during the good days, and then we have a raised planter, really easy accessible for people that would need something just easier to maintain. And to link all the different areas, we have a steel walkway floating above planting that is anti-slip. So it's all about mixing the industrial materials like the steel grating, the bricks.
And that is that all recycled?
It's all recycled, the bricks are reclaimed, and it's all to tie in with the circular economy theme and the citron
sustainability.
So yeah, a lot of materials are reclaimed secondhand, and then what's new is easy to maintain, like the composite decking and everything.
So. Well, it's a beautiful job, so congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Is it your first time at Bloom?
It's my second year.
And who were you with last year?
I was just sponsored by Borbia Bloom. Yes.
Last year, but this year you're with a commercial sponsor.
With Citroën, yeah.
Okay, well, the very best of luck indeed.
Thank you.
We'll find out soon.
Yeah, we'll find out soon.
And I can tell you that the Citroën Downsized Garden won Designer's Choice for Louise Checa's design. So that's three awards this year. Gold medal, Best in Show for Planting, and now Designer's Choice, where every other garden designer gets to vote their favourite garden. So Citroën has got the treble in so far as gold 3 years in a row, plus the treble in 1 year alone. That's not bad. That deserves a round of applause because it's a fantastic garden. And well done to Louise Checa.
It's the Mooney Goes Wild really easy garden wildlife related questions quiz. And it's
multiple choice, multiple choice. Multiple choice, multiple choice. Multiple choice, multiple choice. Multiple choice.
Yeah, we couldn't come along to Bloom without having some quiz, and we've got some lovely goodies to give away. Is Terry and Michelle there?
Yes.
They are indeed. I can't see you. Move out a bit. I can't see you, but I thought you weren't on the stage at all. All right, so we've got a contestant who's waving at us. Terry, who have you got there?
I've got Kerry Kaleri, Derek, and you won't believe it. It's Kerry's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday to Kerry.
Thank you very much, Derek.
Well, can I ask how old you are, or will I pretend it's bingo? 2 and 9, 29, the lady's age.
Yeah, that's lovely.
And you're an identical twin as well.
Yes, yeah, I've an identical twin. Michelle, she's listening now in Dungarvan. So happy birthday, Michelle.
Well, how do we know we're not talking to Michelle?
Yeah.
How do you know,
that
you're not Michelle?
Are you enjoying yourself here today?
Yes, we're having a fabulous day. I'm here with my husband, Niall.
Give us a wave, Niall. There
Woo!
You are.
Yeah,
so Niall has us on video as well.
Yeah,
don't?
So I couldn't think of a better way to spend my birthday than be at Bloom, and we're having a great day. So
and
thank
tell me
you.
This, have you bought anything here?
Yes, I bought loads, actually.
What?
Well, I brought a little present for my mum. She's in a nursing home. I bought some stuff, Green Angel, and we bought a few plants. And, yeah, we've having a brilliant time.
And you love gardening?
Yes, I do like gardening. What's my husband is better than me, but, yeah,
what's your favourite plant?
My favourite plant is the agapantha, the blue agapantha.
Oh, lovely.
And I have them by the front door. We live opposite the sea, so it looks lovely there, yeah.
That's great. Well, are you ready to take part in the quiz? Can I show you the prizes first
of all? Okay, Michelle has got the prizes in hand.
That's
Michelle?
Aina's book.
Yeah, oh, there we go.
The Great Irish Biodiversity book. That's a lovely,
lovely
book.
That's lovely.
And
oh,
we
no
also
pressure.
Have one from Don Conroy.
Lovely.
And we also have one from Jim Wilson.
Oh, very good.
But you have to get the questions right first.
Okay.
So they're multiple choice questions.
Now.
That's fairly straightforward. I think you'll all be able to get these right. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready, Derek.
All right. So here we go with question number one. Which bird is famous for its bright red chest and can often be seen hopping around our gardens? Is it A, the robin, B, the blackbird, or C, the wren?
The robin.
The robin!
Hooray!
And what did she get, Michelle, for that?
The Great Biodiversity book.
Why?
By Aina Nealana.
By Aina Nealana. Okay, question Ivrido, number two. Which small mammal, commonly found in gardens, is famous for rolling into a ball when frightened? Is it A, the hedgehog, B, the rabbit? I've got that the other way around. A, the rabbit, B, the hedgehog, or C, the squirrel?
The hedgehog.
The hedgehog.
Very good. So your second choice will be, it's either...
It's not a choice. It's just a prize. Michelle will say what it is.
She gets the Birds of Ireland, a field guide by Jim Wilson and the photographs by Mark Carmody.
Oh,
very nice.
Thank you very much.
And your final question. It is. It's terrific. Which plant has large yellow flowers that follow the sun throughout the day and are commonly grown in summer gardens? Is it A, sunflower, B, bluebell, or C, iris?
The sunflower, Derek.
Is sunflower correct, do you think? I think it is. Michelle.
So we have Drawn to Nature by Don Conroy.
That's the final prize, Drawn to Nature by Don Conroy. Thank you very much indeed. And again, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Are you an identical twin, by the way?
I am, yes.
You are so? Okay, who came out first?
Michelle, my sister, yeah.
By how many minutes or seconds or what was it?
2 minutes.
I thought you were going to say 2 weeks. Anyway, congratulations.
Thank
happy
you
birthday
very much.
To both
Thank
you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank you, guys.
Now, Richard's gone out and about. Let's see where he is.
I'm here with Robert at stand number 10, is it, Robert?
Number 10, yeah.
What do you call it when you were garden? It's a lovely little garden.
This garden is called the Grass Advantage on behalf of the National Dairy Council.
A very appropriate one because Ireland is a great big garden.
Effectively,
and
yeah.
It's shaped largely by cattle. Well, not entirely, but to a very great extent.
I mean, farmers are the biggest managers of the land. So, you know, whatever they can do or whatever they are doing can have a huge and a positive impact on them.
So everything is a garden in a sense, is it?
Yeah, this was designed around, it's meant to be a public space. So this could be a garden in a city, this could be a garden in the country. But you can see there's a circular path that we navigate through the garden to kind of get a sense of it. But the idea being that we have a pasture in the centre. So it's a multi-species sward, it's rich with white clover, with red clover. And the garden emanates in these ripples. So you'll see these like ripples emanate and rise as it kind of expands. And within that, we use a lot of grasses in the planting. And there's obviously floral tones to it as well. We want to kind of engage with people. We want it to feel ultimately like it is a garden in its own right. But it's full of the textures of the countryside. It's full of rural textures. We've got natural stone walls, the corrugated red oxide panels. You know, we obviously have this little sculpture behind me. Yeah.
Well, in a way, gardening is an extension of painting and the arts generally. And you're trying to influence people in various ways by your garden. What is your purpose in this particular garden?
The garden, like many gardens, there's a journey, there's a narrative, but ultimately it was to try and connect people with dairy farming, but also beyond that with the products within dairy farming. I mean, obviously we have our milks, our cheeses, our butters, our yogurts, they're the best in the world. And why so? I guess when you dig into it, you look at the quality of the land, you look at the quality of the products.
So your target audience really is rural, but you are anxious to impress
city dwellers as well, to some extent, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of see the advantage probably in the quality of the product. I mean, I know my own kids, my middle child Charlie, his nickname is Moo. because when he was a baby, he was 37 days old before he ate or drank a single thing. We could not get him to, and it was actually when he was down in Tipperary on, it was my brother-in-law gave him a pint of milk, and that was his first and only. He lost a kilo and a half in 37 days, and he hasn't stopped drinking milk or eating.
I see.
Like a proverbial horse since.
Is that how you got the gig, Robert?
I don't know.
Did you tell the National Dairy Council?
No, I did. Actually, he was in earlier, but yeah, and to this day, everyone calls him Moo.
Dairy mentioned you getting the gig. Now, you were sitting at your desk and you get a phone call from the dairy people, and can you do a garden presenting milk and cows and the agriculture? What is your immediate reaction? Oh, yes, I'll do it. Or do you start thinking, oh my God, could I do that? What am I going to do?
Or is that how it works at all?
I think when you find the meat on the bone, I've done show gardens around, respite around.
You did one on Alzheimer's.
I did one on dementia. Yeah. We did one on cancer awareness. Yeah. So you get to meet the people within that. You get to meet people who are living with it. You get to people who are the support services. So from the perspective of dairy farming, I had to go meet the farmers to see kind of firsthand exactly what.
But I'm just wondering, Robert, do you go to the Dairy Council or do they reach out to you saying, can you do a garden for us?
There's a tender process in that they have a brief in what they're trying to achieve, and then they offer that out to a panel. And then it's the early competitive side. Well, now we're culminating in the late competitive side here today.
Well, congratulations, because I know you've been at Bloom many times before, as Richard is alluding to there.
Yeah, so it's trying to, they have presented here three times before, so I was keen to kind of find an evolution of their story, the National Dairy Council. They've done kind of the farmyard feel, where they recreate sort of farmyards and stuff like that, and I thought, you know, it'd be really nice to do something like a public space that wasn't necessarily a farmyard, but feels like you're in the middle of the country, which I think we've probably achieved quite well.
It's a lovely public space. It could be anywhere, actually. It could be in any town as a kind of small pop-up garden, wild area, somewhere to sit back, relax and enjoy, because you've got lots of seating areas in it as well.
Yeah, we've upcycled loads of, so these are all old Irish tractor seats. So I kind of foraged far and wide. You can see kind of these ones were made in Capaquin. This one was made in Enniscorthy. But they're fabulously comfortable. I mean, these are... So they're just little gathering areas, little places just for people to kind of converse. And, you know, it's kind of like when you create something like this or a public space, it's you want to create somewhere where someone can actually kind of be part of it, as in sit down and just either reflect on their own or share. You know, it's kind of it's a gathering space. Now more than ever, it's more important that people kind of engage with that there's that more time spent in the countryside, more time spent in the mountains, more time spent. That's from a mental health perspective, that can only be a good thing. So it's just trying to create these links that are there, that are in us. I mean, genetically, they're in us. We are people of the land.
We are indeed people of the land. And you are an evangelist for conservation. And I hope you get an awful lot of converts here in Bloom.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
Inch by inch, row by row, oh, to make this garden. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
That was Richard Collins chatting earlier with Robert Moore. And he's the mind behind the Grassland Advantage Garden, a large show garden here inspired by sustainable farm management practices, sponsored by the National Dairy Council. And he picked up a Silver Gilt Award. Now, where is Terry Flanagan? That's what I want to know. Where are you, Terry?
I'm about 50 metres away.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I'm with Oliver Schurman. And Oliver, we're in your garden here. I think it's Garden 21. It's beautiful. Walk me around, tell me a
little
bit about it.
Yeah, sure. So the garden is really, it's more a concept. It's an amphitheatre, it's a stage, and the performance is Mother Nature around it.
Yeah.
So what you see here, this very light, simple structure, is embracing nature.
We're standing in the middle of this amphitheatre, and as we look around, I see some Well, first of all, there's a water feature behind us. Tell me a little bit about the water feature.
I love using water. Water brings everything together. We live in a country with an abundance of water. We should value it more and more. And the water has reflective qualities. Everything seems so much bigger with water around. Mm. And you have the light in it. You have the reflections of the structure continuing on straight down into the water. It just brings magic together. Everybody's attracted to water.
And as I move over towards it here, I can see you have seaweed in it here. That looks like fucus.
Yes, it is. It's bladderwrack or fucus or yeah. So. And seaweed, it's always been used in Irish agriculture and so on to bring certain minerals into the soil to improve the soil structure, the soil quality. And we have to understand when we're growing things organically and so on, it's all about the soil and the soil producing healthy plants.
It would have been very common, say, in the west of Ireland, and the minerals you're talking about, things like iodine, for instance.
Yes, and in the west, obviously, it's widely available. It's widely available all around our whole coast.
And it's free.
And it is free, yeah. And it's actually a joy to collect, because I went out with Pat Malloy, the fisherman, the local fisherman in Lettermore, and we bundled the seaweed at low tide at 7 o'clock in the morning and then tied it to a rock and went off fishing till the tide came in, and then we pulled it back into the harbour. So it's a way of life.
Now, your show garden here, it's entitled Nature Symphony. Why?
Well, Nature Symphony is one... I mean, it's a theatre. It's to celebrate nature. It's to celebrate the organic growing and for people to sit down and look straight into nature, like you're sitting here on this structure.
Let's move over here, because I think you've got some wild plants here. They look like wild carrots there, or that. Is that, am I right in that?
Yeah, well, it'd be... We left a lot of the wild growth and weeds, and we tried to enhance them. And so we brought in certain things like the Queen Anne's lace, which is a carrot family. Now, we know it all along our hedgerows and our old roads.
As cow parsley.
But it's such a beautiful, beautiful plant. Just catches the light.
And it's very important too for pollinators at this time of the year.
Oh, it's incredibly important for a lot of different kinds of pollinators. Maybe not so much the bees. The bees goes for other things, but we have to don't just concentrate on bees. Mm-hmm. It's all the insects that pollinate as well. Bees are only one part of it.
I'm thinking of things like the hoverflies, for instance.
Oh yeah, the hoverflies and so many other ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking out through our amphitheatre here, if I look out towards the edge of the garden, I see you have lots of vegetables planted, potatoes for instance.
Yeah, we've got beautiful drills of potatoes. Also, just to show off that healthy vegetable plants are really attractive.
Yeah.
And then again, to also show off how they're grown. And we have the drills, and the drills are mulched with seaweed.
And it's the variety of plants I see here too that's amazing. We've talked about the water feature there, we've talked about the potatoes, we've talked about the bladderwrack, we've talked about the vegetables and the potatoes, but let's move over here, because you have fruit in the garden here as well.
We have fruit, and the path leading out from the garden takes you through blueberry woodland.
And you can see the berries just about burying up
there.
The
berries are developing. There's still flowers on them. You see flowers here, and you see the bees going onto the flowers. Rich in vitamins and apparently good for the blood and everything, you know. And it's, what I'm saying is we can grow so much ourselves. We should be doing it.
Well, let's take a little sit down and rest. Derek, we're going to hand back to you, and we're just going to relax for a couple of minutes here in Nature Symphony.
Absolutely. And Terry was speaking with Oliver Schumann about the garden called Nature Symphony, as you've just heard, which was not part of the judging process, but a collaboration between Bord Bia and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine.
It's the Mooney Goes Wild really easy garden wildlife related questions quiz. And it's
multiple choice. And this time Michelle has got a contestant. Michelle, who have you got there?
I'm here with David Fallon, who's from Dundalk, and he's got two of his children here, and their names are?
Abby, Ella.
And how old are you?
8, 11.
And what was your favourite thing here at Bloom?
I like the gardens.
I like the food in the gardens.
How are you getting on, David?
I'm great, yeah, no, fabulous day. First time here now and really enjoying it, really enjoying it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Who's going to answer the questions? That's the question. Well, you've got three questions. You could take one each. I mean, they're easy enough.
We might start small as the biggest.
Okay, who is going to go first then?
I think Ella. Are you going to be brave and go first?
Okay, give Ella the microphone there, Michelle. Make sure it's nice so we can hear her nice and loud. Ella, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes, you are. All right, Ella. Here comes your first question. Which insect is most often seen buzzing around flowers helping to pollinate and produce honey? Is it A, the dragonfly, B, the butterfly, or C, the bee?
The bee.
The bee! Well done. So you get yourself a little prize. What prize can we give? And we've got Emily, who's our broadcast assistant. What is she going to get, Emily?
She's gotten a fabulous prize. She's gotten the brand new book from A&E Leuna. It is the Great Irish Biodiversity Book. So congrats.
And you're getting it free. You're doing really well. If Vane was here, she'd look for about €15 for that. Okay, who's next?
So, Abby.
Okay, Abby, can you do better than your little sister? Are you ready, Abby?
Yeah.
Okay, here comes your question. So which shrub, often used for hedges, produces small, fragrant, white flowers in spring and is beloved by bees? Is it A, the holly, B, boxwood, or C, the hawthorn? Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, do you have any ideas? Shout them up. Come on, shout them up.
Hawthorn.
Hawthorn is correct. Hooray! Emily, what have we got this time?
She has won the Birds of Ireland book. It's by Jim Wilson and the photography is by Mark Carmody.
Oh, that's fantastic. Jim Wilson is our man in Cork and Mark is his nephew and they really do know their stuff. It's a beautiful book. And finally, we've got Daddy. All right, Daddy.
So very nervous.
You've got to do better than your two daughters. Here we go. Which bird is known for its colourful plumage and is often seen in gardens eating seeds from bird feeders? Is it A, the pigeon? Is it B, the goldfinch, or C, the emu?
That'd be pigeon.
Huh?
Goldfinch.
Goldfinch!
Apologies.
I mean, I thought that was going to be the easiest question we had. You got it right. You got it right, just about. Anyway, Emily, what is Daddy getting?
They are all getting an RTE goodie bag, which includes a water bottle, a notebook and a pen.
Yay! So well done. We'll come back with another quiz shortly. But the last time we were here at Bloom, we caught up, that was in 2023, with a very nice guy called Niall McCauley. Niall turned his passion for horticulture into an online career. He basically set up his own YouTube channel where he presents all sorts of interesting stuff related to horticulture, and it's called Niall's Gardens. He's always here. I caught up with him earlier, and he's now working with Bord Bia.
Great to see you again, Derek.
You too, Niall. So you better start by reminding our listener who you are, because we only have the one listener, you know. Although today we may have two, because we're on at 3 p.m.
Well, hello to the two listeners then. My name's Niall. Yeah. I'm a gardening content creator. Niall Gardens is where you'd find me. I've got a YouTube channel, and that's where everything really started. I had the idea that I would effectively try and create my own gardening television show that would be specifically Irish, you know, to really cater to what we do. And that's where it's gone from there. Right. I do a little bit of TV and radio now and work with the people here at Bloom. And I'm championing Bord Bia's Easy Steps to Dream Gardens campaign.
Okay.
They have one of the show gardens here this year is the Plant Lover's Garden by Patricia Terrell. And what that's doing is it's showcasing their initiative, which is Easy Steps to Dream Gardens, where you can go online to boardbia.com/dreamgardens, and they have 7 garden designs that have been designed by previous Bloom award-winning garden designers. Mm-hmm. And they're suited to all kinds of gardens, but they're realistic and they're achievable, and you don't have to pay a cent. They're completely free. You get the full garden design, the planting list, everything that you need is there as a free resource.
That's a fantastic idea, I have to say. But does it matter how big your garden is, or are there designs for all shapes and sizes?
So they're all designed for different aspects, which is lovely, and for different things that you might be looking for. There's a garden for entertaining, there's the plant lover's garden, there's a children-friendly garden. But what's really nice about it is, although the designs are generally pitched towards a standard suburban-sized garden, they also have a brilliant feature called the focus border. And if you lifted nothing else, if you just lifted that focus border and brought it into your garden, you'd get that bit of a look.
Yeah. Now, you were giving talks over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. What were your talks about?
So my talks last weekend were all about bring the show home. Quite often, I think we go to these things and we look and we are overwhelmed with so much that we see, but we're not sure kind of how to bring it like back home, like you were just saying. So what I've done is I created three different container plantings based on three of the show gardens, distilled down some of the great plants so that no matter how small a growing space you have, even if it's just a balcony or a window box, you can bring a little bit of bloom back to your home and it's going to look epic.
Okay, so have you got this on your YouTube channel?
I haven't got it on my YouTube
channel. Why? I mean, people want to go to it now. They want to see it because they missed your talk. That was yesterday and the day before. So they weren't at your talk.
Right, I have got my orders.
Unless you give me a bit of your talk now.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to take your recommendation and I'm going to put it on my socials.
Well, all right. Just remind people where they can find you now.
Search for Nile Gardens on YouTube and Instagram and you'll find me.
Nile, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. Now, Richard, we got some questions. Okay, here, a couple of questions have come in and you might be able to answer them while we're waiting on Peter Smith to pop into us. Connor from Drumcondra, he has swifts nesting in the eaves of the house. He says, this morning I found a swift crawling across my front yard, possibly blown in by the strong breeze. It is now hiding behind a small holly tree. Is there anything I can do to assist it to get it airborne? Now, that's where it's tricky.
Well, yes, there is everything he can do, and it's a very informative question because the swift is an utter extremist. He lives in the air and he hates coming down, but she has to come down, they both come down to nest. Yeah. But to go back into the air as soon as possible. Now, when the babies come out, they often get drift and fall on the ground or whatever. And maybe this one crashed into a window or something and is down on the ground. Now, what can you do?
What can you do?
You have to take it up to the highest place around. The higher, the better. Calm it down. Don't upset it. Point it into the wind. And usually they will lift their wings and...
They'll open them out a little
bit. When you let them off, they seem to fall. But they don't actually. They do fall a bit, and then they pick up like parachutists and run away, you see. And don't be worried about the fact that it's been on the ground for some time. Swifts have this facility to go torpid, to sort of semi-hibernate when the food supply is low. So I wouldn't worry about the fact that he's been on the ground so long, if he has. And the other thing, of course, is their claws are the most unbelievably sharp things. They won't hurt. I couldn't believe anything is so fine as the claws of swift when you handle. They won't handle you. They don't fight. They're nothing like that. It's just a gripping with the claws. They're very, very...
So cup sharp. It in your hands. Go as high as you can.
Yes.
Church
yes.
steeple. Be careful. And then just let it out.
Yeah, well,
and it'll be falling, but it'll open its wings and then it'll take off. Hopefully. Hopefully.
Should.
All right.
It
well,
should.
You know, sometimes they say if you find a bird, you should just leave it alone. But in the case of a swift, unfortunately, you have to help it get back into the air.
Oh, yes.
It's one of those rare occasions when if you come across...
You don't have to fling it up
no,
in the air.
No.
It should
very gentle. But as high as you can, out your top bedroom window or something. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, let's see where we're going next. Yes, actor and musician Peter Smith joins us now to talk about the Moonlight, the Philip Linnett enigma, the hit stage show about the Thin Lizzy frontman that sold out its original run at Vicar Street in April. But due to popular demand, extra nights have been added nationwide. Peter, very welcome to the programme. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know you an awful long time since you were starting off when I was presenting children's programmes.
Absolutely. Yourself and Ciara Carroll.
Ciara Carroll, who's listening in today, so shout out to Ciara. How long ago is that must be?
That is going on 28, 29 years probably.
29 years, and you're still performing and acting and singing.
Yeah, lucky enough. And, you know, to be pulled into a show about a legend like Philip Linnett is...
So I've said his name wrong. It's Linnett.
Everybody does it.
Why do we say that? I shouldn't have said that, Philip Linnett. Philip Linnett, I apologise.
I think it's one of those things. And I think Linnett, his famous line was, I'm not a bird. Because Linnett, as this gentleman will know,
flowers too. So it's not a bad thing to be compared with.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's lovely to be back in Ireland.
No, it is, because you live in Spain, but you're very familiar with Philip Lynott. You know his music, you kind of grew up around it, and you're from the same area.
I am, Dublin 12, as everyone knows, and you know, Philip was raised on Legland Road in Crumlin. So if I had gotten this wrong, there certainly wouldn't be any new dates on the 20th and 24th of June. So, you know, thankfully, you know, everybody came in their droves. Have to thank everybody for that. And the wonderful people at Aiken Promotions, Peter Aiken and all of his team, really looking after us. The best.
I'm surprised, though, that there was only so few dates in the first place, because you weren't there for very long. How many dates was it?
Three days. So
I would have thought that would be 3 months at least.
It was one of those things. I know that Peter and the crew are kind of looking at next year. Can we do a residency there for a few weeks? Such as the kind of demand for all things Philip Lynott and Thin Lizzy. So, and because it's musical theatre as well, it's a broader interest. People that are like yourself that are interested in the theatre would come to be entertained by the acting and the storytelling aspect as well.
Well, I don't know all of his music, in fairness. So you're going to perform for us now. What are you going to sing?
We're going to do our version of "Dancing in the Moonlight," which is somewhat subdued and a little bit more, more of the storytelling mode.
Well, appropriate for the day. Well, you're going on to stage. Thank you very much indeed, Peter Smith. I can tell you that the extra dates are June 20th and 21st at Vicar Street, 24th of June in Limerick in the University Concert Hall, the 8th of October in Belfast, Ulster Hall, and October 24th in Kerry in the Glen Eagle Arena. But at any rate, if you go to our website, rte.ie/Mooney, you'll have all the dates there. I want to say thanks to all the Mooney Goes Wild team, Terry Flanagan, Richard Collins and Niall Hatch. Our BCO was Emily McAvoy. Research, Michelle Brown. Sound engineering was Tom Norton and Kieran Cullen. And a special thanks to Gráinne Brookfield, who is the event coordinator for RTE here at Bloom, and she's done a fantastic job. We will be on Mooney Goes Wild tonight at 10 p.m. with a repeat of a special documentary celebrating 30 years of Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1. That's from about 2 minutes past 10 tonight. In the meantime, I'll leave you in the very capable hands of Peter Smith and Larry, who's accompanying him, Larry Hogan, on acoustic guitar. Give them a big round of applause.
When I passed you in the doorway, well, you took me with a glance. I should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance. Now we go steady to the pictures. I always get chocolate stains on my pants, yeah. And my father, he's going crazy. He says I'm living in a trance, but I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in its spotlight. It's all right, dancing in the moonlight on this long, hot summer night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on the streets again, yeah. I disobeyed another warning. I should have been in by 10. Now I won't get out till Sunday. I'll have to say that I stayed with my friends. Oh, but it's a habit worth forming if it means to justify the ends. But I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in its spotlight. It's all right, dancing in the moonlight on this long, hot summer night. I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in its spotlight. It's all right, dancing in the moonlight on this long, hot summer night.
Thank you. I want to say a big, huge thank you to Derek Mooney here and everybody here at RT Radio 1 for having us today. And we look forward to seeing you all on the 20th and 21st of June. Tickets available from Ticketmaster and at Vicar Street. So look forward to seeing you all. I think we're one for the road. Anybody feel like any rockers in here? I want to see you put your hands together.
Hey, rocker.
Come on.
Hey,
trouble. I take no lip, no one's tougher than me. If I kicked your face, you'd soon be seeing double. Hey, little girl, keep your hands off of me, cause I'm a rocker. That's right, I'm a rocker. I'm a roller too, baby. I'm a rocker. Boy, down at the juke joint, me and the boys are stomping, bippin' and boppin' and telling a dirty joke or two.
Peter Smith and Larry Hogan on Mooney Goes Wild, live from Bloom.